Everybody's awake? Good, good. Say amen. 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 That means so be it. That's the will of the Lord be done in our church services. Praise God, praise God. Oh, magnify the Lord and exalt his name forever. Exalt him. It says in the first verse of that let I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Now that's it. And you might say, well, man, I don't know if I can pray 24/7. I know that's almost impossible. But yet we have an attitude of praying. We have an attitude towards him, looking to him, that we will bless the Lord Almighty, blessing him. It blesses him. Look at it this way. You know, we you know, especially at Christmas time, you know, we bless people, you know, probably more than ordinarily any other time. I mean, you know, we might give a little bit more money towards people, you know. We might give more money. We might make things, you know. You know, I know at work, as far as my other job, this is my main job right here. You might say a job. I look at it, it's a ministry, but God has called me. That's different. God has given me that job over there. Okay. But you know, you're on the route, especially this time, people make cakes and they'll give it to you, all kinds of stuff. You know, give you popcorn and cans, give you oranges, grapefruits, lemons, all kinds. I mean, just all kinds of stuff. Because they're in a generous mood. They're in a generous state. The Bible says, I will bless the Lord at all times. My praise shall continually be in my mouth towards him. What blesses the Lord is us praising him. Amen. And it has to be something verbal. Praise unto him. I will exalt his name forever. Now, you might say, well, do I have to be so? No, you don't. I mean, you can be. I mean, that's okay. But we are to bless him. That we are to praise him. That blesses him. Can you imagine? We know through the word of God and what Psalm says that we can bless the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords by just opening our mouth, lifting our hands, and praising him. See, the favor of God is upon this church. Yes. It is. You might say, well, you know, I don't see this. We don't go by what we see. We go by who we know. And we go by what he tells us. As I was standing and just worshiping, I said, Lord, I just worship you, praise you, and honor you this day. Close that. Close that door. Make sure it's, you know, as I was just working, you know, the Spirit of the Lord just said to me, my favor is upon this place. And I said, Lord, thank you. You know, not every church has the favor of God. Not everyone, we might think. But he determines by what the people are doing, if the favor of God is upon it. And when the favor of God is upon a place, the anointing, the presence, the power of God, the revelation of his word is upon it. The God is moving. If we could see, if God could take the blinders of the natural eyes off of us and we could see what God is doing on behalf of this place, not just because of me, because I don't want to put it that way, but because of all of us in seeking him and honoring him and loving him with everything within him, and we want his will, not the agenda of man. You know, it's not Pastor Joe's church. My name might be on everything because in society we need that, names, you know. But this is not mine. So I don't have to supply for it. But it's God. So when it's God's, He supplies. He works. He moves. And we need to get that attitude towards our families at home, towards our homes, that this is, you talk about God's home, where we're, and He supplies. He gives. He helps. He moves. And He gets things straight. He gets the man straight in the house. He gets the woman straight in the house, the wife. He gets the children straight in the house. And the power and the presence of God moves. It's His. It's His. The favor of God is upon this place. The favor of God. And letting God move and deal and get things done. But we have to be obedient. And as we obey the Spirit of the Lord, the power of God starts to move like we've never seen before, people, in our hearts and in our lives and in the community. Praise God. Exalt His name forever. Exalt His name forever. I want you to turn, if you would, to Psalms 34, verse 10. Take your Bibles when you get there, and we'll make our declaration before Him. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, I tell you, get excited about 2017 because God is moving. I'm telling you, God is moving. As a church, we're going to see the miracle signs of God in every area of our lives, people. I'm telling you, it's moving. It's moving. I hate to call the Holy Spirit it, and that I'm sorry for. I shouldn't do that. The power of God and the presence of God is moving, and we need to thank God for what He's going to do like never before. Amen. Psalms 34:10. It says, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they who seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Now, the Word of God says, and I want to focus basically on the second part of that, the second part, not the first, which is the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, okay? And that's one part. But the second part is, but they who seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. This is a promise that has been given to you as a church, as a person. It says this, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. God's promise is that if we seek Him, that we shall not want. Man, that's amazing just right there. We shall not want for any good thing. But we have to do our part first in seeking Him. And you know, and I know you're probably thinking in your mind, seeking Him. Does that mean I have to get in a closet or my room and close the doors and that could be, because there's times I need to do that. But also seeking Him throughout, just giving Him the praise and the exaltation that He deserves. You know, I often wonder, Lord, have You heard Your people say You love You today? And then I turn to myself and say, Lord, I love You. You know, if a couple, if the man or the woman never tells each other that they love them, to confirm that love, if they never express that love to one another, what will happen to that marriage? It will die. It will die. The man, and just as much as the woman, both of them, need to express their love to one another in verbally telling one another, I love you. You may not like everything he or she does, but who does? But you have to express that love towards them and telling them. in telling them. We as human beings need to hear it. Now you might say, well, does God need to hear it? Well, God is all consuming. God was flourishing before he even thought of making mankind, you know? I mean, God has been there forever, you know? He will not fall down tomorrow and die if he doesn't hear us tell him we love him. But he loves to hear it from his creation. He loves to hear it from a people that he has made in his image like no other creation ever before. The only creation that he sent his absolute best for, his son Jesus Christ, to come and die upon a cross. Because he loved us, as the scripture says, for God so loves the world that he what gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not what perish, but have what everlasting life. The love of the Father towards us. We need to tell the Father we love him. We need to tell the Jesus we love him. We need to tell the Holy Spirit, I love you. Yes, they're three, but yet they're one in the same. One doesn't go beyond the other. We need to express that love towards him. And as we fall in love with our Father, it will be easier to do the will of the Father. In expressing, go around your house and just say, Lord, I love you. Your neighbors might think you're crazy, but that's okay. God thinks you're great. I love you. Expressing that. But to seek the Lord, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger. But they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. You can take and you can swap that verse around almost. The ones that don't seek the Lord, they will suffer and lack. Even as Christians, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger. But they that seek the Lord, he feeds. And he feeds spiritually. I mean, godly. God, we have so much food. Just pray I don't gain any weight over that week. Because we bought the food and everything. And from what I understood, they give a lot of food. But they that seek the Lord shall not go hungry. Now, you don't know how many Christians I've heard come and speak to me. They don't come here, thank God. Well, no, I'm not, thank God they don't. You know, just thank God, you know. They'll say, I'm dying spiritually. And come to find out they're not being given food of the Word of God. Oh, I can get up here and tell you all kinds of stuff and leave out the Word of God. I mean, I could do it. There's no, but I tell you what, all the other things which mean are okay, I guess, but it's not like feeding from the Word of God. That you can hold on to something tomorrow when things may not be going so great. And you can crack open that word and get in that word. And you can look up Psalms 34 and start reading it. And it focuses your eyes back to him. Seek the Lord. Seek him. Seek him when you're cooking. Seek him when you're working. Seek him when you drive in your vehicle. It says in the Word of God that God works on our behalf even when we're sleeping. The righteous are sleeping. That means God, the Holy Spirit, never stops on our behalf, people. He's not our servant. We are his servant. But he never stops going on behalf of his people even as we sleep. You know, we have to sleep because of the sin nature. Because of Adam and Eve, they messed it up. We have to sleep. But I love to sleep. Oh, my Lord. It's like crawling into my bed. You know, you're supposed to change your mattress every 8 years, they say. But man, when you get used to a mattress, who wants to throw that thing away? You flip it over, turn it around, it's brand new, you know? But man, at night when you crawl into that bed, it's like, oh, like all the worries just, all the cares of life leave. Because our peace and trust is in Him and Him alone. Matthew 6:33 says this. Matthew 6:33, can you pull that up? 6:33, I'll look. It's talking about seek ye the Lord. Seek the Lord while He may be found. You got it? Okay, it's gone. You know, sometimes technology, you know how that is, you know. It's like we want it, you know, and sometimes it's just kind of slow, you know. But it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek the Lord first. Give God what is God's first. From your time to your money to everything. Seek the Lord. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seeking Him while He may be found. You know that old song, I was singing that this morning, you know, praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. He's my rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer. In Him will I trust. Praise the name of Jesus. Anybody remember that old song? Yeah. Hallelujah. He's my fortress. He's my rock. He's my deliverer. Man, that's everything to us as Christians. Because that's who He is. I want you to turn, if you would, to John chapter 21. As we seek Him and honor Him, our Lord will supply everything we need. Do you really believe and understand that? As we seek Him, as we honor Him, we don't have to supply for ourselves. You might say, well, Pastor, do I need to work? Yes, you need to work. Don't quit your job. Yes, you do. God's given you that job. You take that job. You might say, I'm retired. That means you worked for that money you're getting. Hey, retirees, say amen. And I need a raise. Yes. Yes, amen. Well, you know, God can give you those raises. Why not? Say, hey, Lord, I will be faithful. I will give you your tithe, Lord, on everything that comes in. I'll tell you what, God can do it. God can do it. Because let me tell you, this is bar none, God wants to bless every Christian. God wants to bless every son and daughter of His. He wants us to have money. You know why? Because it takes money to further the kingdom. It does. Yes.
She got a check yesterday for $300 in the mail.
Yeah. Amen. See, that unexpected. Unexpected. Praise God. Just in time for Christmas. Praise God. Hey, that's great. That's God blessing. He has to be able to trust us, people, with what He gives us. And when He trusts us, He gives us even more than what we ever could imagine. Because He wants to bless us. Let me tell you, it takes money. It takes money to buy Bibles for Gideons, doesn't it? It takes money. You can't go up to a printing press and they come and say, look, God has given us this vision to give Bibles to all these motels, whatever, and all that stuff. Can you give us? They look at you like, what? Give what? You give me and I'll give you what you want. It takes money. It takes money. You know? And so God wants to bless you like never before, but be faithful with what He gives you today. And say, Lord, bless me beyond measure and I'll give more that is rightfully yours. And let me tell you, seek ye first the kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom. Now, I want to read this to you in John chapter 2, starting with verse 2, or 21, I'm sorry, John 21, verse 2. Look at this. I know it's a story we really know, but It says this, there were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said unto him, I go a fishing. They said unto him, we also go with you. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. Okay, let me stop right here. You have the disciples. They need to go and fish. That's what they know to do. They get in a boat. They go out there. And can you imagine? They cast those nets all night. Not one single fish. Let's say they started around 9, just time, because it says they fished all night. And 1 o'clock comes in the morning, and they look in their ice chests, and all they see is some ice, and no fish, nothing. Not one single fish. And I know, we've all toiled and done a lot for the kingdom of God, and sometimes we don't see results. I know it. Sometimes we prayed and we don't see results. Sometimes we've given money and we haven't seen results. Sometimes we prayed with people and we don't see results. I mean, sometimes we don't see the results that we want to see. But we should never think that God is not working on our behalf. Because it talks about him who seeks him, God will move. Seeking him and honoring him and exalting his name and magnifying him, that he will move. Can you imagine how they felt? You doing something and you see nothing come about of it. And they weren't fishing just out of pleasure like most of us would do. Go crabbing or fishing, that's pleasure. I mean, it's not like we go and fish to bring food home just to be able to eat that night. I mean, we may have gone crabbing or fishing and we didn't catch nothing, but you know what? We stopped somewheres and we bought what we wanted. We bought the crabs that we should have caught. And come home and say you caught it. Come on. Amen. Well, I wouldn't go that far, but I hope nobody did that. But yeah, but could be. You never know. That's right. But, we have food at home, but they were fishing to feed their families and to feed themselves, people. And can you imagine? That's why they toiled so long, because they had an agenda. Their agenda was, I need to eat. Their agenda was, they thinking about their wife that needs to eat. Their agenda was, they thinking about their children that need to eat. What they're thinking about is their grandchildren that need to eat. So let me tell you, they may have been disappointed, but they kept throwing those nets. They kept throwing those nets as they would reel it in, and all they would see was net. Yes, they might have been frustrated. They might have been disappointed, but they kept throwing it. Kept throwing it. Let's pick up the story. In verse 4, it says, but when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, children, have you any meat? They answered him, no. No, people, not a single fish. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fish. Therefore the disciples whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked. And he did cast himself in the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, about 100 yards, dragging the net and fish. As soon as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish lay therein in bread. Jesus said unto him, bring of the fish which you have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of, look how the Holy Spirit says, great fish. I mean, that's just little things, nuggets, people. 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. When Jesus comes on the scene, things change. When Jesus comes on the scene of a family, things change. When Jesus comes on the scene of a church, things change. They toiled all night. Morning came, and here Jesus stood on the shore. Do you know, Jesus saw them. You know, we often wonder, why did Jesus wait so long? We may have our, what we think, the theories of why. It doesn't necessarily say why. We can have our theories about why. But Jesus' infinite wisdom is far beyond man's wisdom. And he knows the exact time to bring about the answers to our prayers. He knows what's happening in our hearts. He knows what's happening in our lives. And he knows what can happen. And here they were toiling all night, throwing the nets, nothing coming in. Jesus stands on the shore and he hollers back to them. And he says, cast the net on the right side. Now let me ask you this. If they would have thrown it on the left side, what you think would have happened? When Jesus specifically, the Holy Spirit tells us something, we have to do it exactly like he says to do it. Because the results will come in when we do it how he says to do it. That's an answer to some of your prayers. We've been sometimes doing things the way we think or what we want to do. And God's not going to answer those prayers. And when they threw it to that right side, and there's a lot of stuff in that I could say, but when they obeyed the Lord and they threw it one more time because they were disappointed, it says they started to reel it in. It wasn't little guppies. It wasn't little fish. Great fish were in that net. A total that God is so specific in making sure that John wrote it down right. 153. Not 154, not 152, but 153 was in that net, and they were pulling it in. And they were thinking, will the net break? You have to understand this. When Jesus says to do something and we do it exactly how he wants us to do it, the net won't break. Faith in what he said is truth, and we believe what he says. They reeled it in. And look, can you imagine all night, nothing. And how many times do you think they threw that net out all night? More than one net. All night. Left side, right side. You know what Jesus had? Jesus had all these fish in one corner. So how do you? That's just my theory. One corner. Waiting for when he'd come on the scene. And they were tired of doing things their own way. Jesus comes on the scene and they recognize him after a while. They didn't know at first it was him, but then they recognize it was him. They threw it to the right side like he said, and 153 great fish were in it. And as they were coming in and dragging this net full of fish that it was about to break the boat, bringing it in, Jesus was on the shore. Didn't take not one of their fish. Had fish cooking for them. Because you know they were hungry. They didn't have no food. He had food ready for them. That's what our Father does. Takes care of what we want and takes care of what we need, people. God takes care of what you want when we put him first and he takes care of what we need for our own physical bodies, spiritually and physically, to get the job done. That's the kind of God we serve, people. That as we seek him, he moves. And I know some of you, some of us, probably all of us, at some time in our lives, we've been let down. We've been let down by God, we thought. Maybe he didn't answer a prayer like we thought. Maybe he didn't do things like what we thought he should do. But we always have to remember, even the disciples felt that way. But God's wisdom is far beyond what our wisdom is. And when we come out of that fishing of that boat and we get on that shore and we see Jesus, there's nothing like it. Look, when they got to that shore and finally recognized everybody finally at the time, some earlier than others, and they recognized it was their Savior cooking for them and was the one that said, throw it on the right side. All the night's worries and cares went away. And they sat down and ate a meal prepared by the Son of God. Man, we go crazy when we go to, when our wives cook a great meal, or our mothers or whoever, you know, now it's Christmas time, we're going all over the place to eat, you know. And the food is awesome. Can you imagine how great that food of fish was to the disciples? God meets the needs of all the people. God meets your needs. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Magnify the Lord. Get up tomorrow morning. Say, Lord, read those scriptures, 1, 2, and 3 of 34. Saying, Father, I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I will exalt thee. Oh, magnify the Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord and bless his name forever together. Man, that stirs up God. That stirs up the Holy Spirit. That stirs up the Son of Man, the Son of God for us. And he starts to move because he's saying, that son or that daughter is trusting me. And the power and the presence of the Holy Ghost that comes upon our lives far exceeds what we ever could imagine. My God, can you imagine as these disciples got home to their families and started to tell them as they brought in the great fish? The wife turns to these men and said, my God, where did you catch this? Man, you let me tell you what happened. Let me tell you what Jesus did. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. He cooked us fish. Look what this is what he told us to do after we fished all night. Look, the word spread. And let me tell you, as the power and the presence of God moves upon our church and moves in our lives, we are going to go out there and spread what Jesus is doing. What Jesus has done, the power and the presence of God. And let me tell you, as you're sharing it with people, they are going to hunger for what you have. Exalting Jesus. It says this, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto him. Talking about the Father. Talking about Jesus being lifted up, which represents the Father. As we lift him up, and we magnify and tell people about what he's doing, how he's moving, how good he is, how he supplies for us. Praise God that he draws the men and women, boys and girls, unto him. And old Slewfoot can't stand it. He hates it. But our God rejoices at what is happening in people's lives. Breaking the chains of bondage. Breaking the chains of bondage off of people's minds. Let me tell you, there are a lot of people in bondage here. Let me tell you, it's bad. There are a lot of people in bondage in their hearts. There are a lot of people in shackles of drugs and alcohol and perversions of all kinds, because that's what the devil leads the people into. But I tell you what, our God has broken every chain of bondage. Everything has been broken. Everything has been broken at the cross because of what Jesus Christ has done at Calvary's cross. That he has come to set us free, not only to accept him as Lord and Savior, but to break the bondages that hold us back from serving him with everything within us. Put your faith in him, and let me tell you, he'll change things forever in our hearts and lives. Praise God. God supplied for these men like never before. And they are no different than from what we are today. God does not look at one above the other. Might have different callings on different people's lives, but let me tell you, God looks at us the same. You know, we often say, man, I wish I was there when Jesus walked the earth, you know, physically. And I understand that. But I tell you what, it's an exciting time today to be where the Spirit of God lives in us. And Jesus is coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle. Let me tell you, as we put our faith and trust in Christ, we are without spot or wrinkle. You might say, oh, Lord, there's a lot of spots in me and a sure whole lot of wrinkles. But with God's not looking at the physical. God's looking at the spiritual, because when we put our faith in Christ, the blood of Jesus covers all the imperfections in our lives. Not that we are perfect, but we put our faith in the one that is perfect. And he, the Father, looks at us through the lenses of the blood of Jesus and says, they are perfect. Might say, Pastor, I failed yesterday. That's okay. Get on your knees, ask forgiveness, and go on. And Jesus looks at you as perfect. 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 Might say, but yeah, but you know, I don't know. What does Jesus say? What does Jesus do? He looks at us as perfect. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Amen. You may stand, please. Praise God. Praise God. Jesus. As every head is bowed, every eye closed for just a minute. If you don't know Jesus today, and you would like to accept him as your Lord and Savior, would you please raise your hand so we can pray with you? Maybe you have accepted the Lord already, but you're saying, I need to do it again. I see your hand. Thank you. I see your hand. Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone else? Amen. Let's pray together, because we have some people that raised their hands. Say, Heavenly Father,
I ask you
to forgive me
of all of my sins.
And I accept you
as the Lord
of my life.
I believe
that you died on the cross
and you rose again from the dead.
And you're seated at the right hand of the Father.
I accept you
as my King,
as my Lord,
and as my Savior.
In Jesus' name,
amen. You may look this way. Look, guys, Delaney and I, we appreciate you. We thank God for you and love you. And pray for us this week, okay? Amen, that everything would go okay. I know we're excited about going. But I tell you, we appreciate y'all. And we thank God for it. There's no other church like this church. That's what I feel. You might say, you know what? Honestly, I feel this is the greatest church.
But every pastor needs to feel that way. Because God has put them there, if God put them there. So you know what? You have a great pastor with great people that serve a great God. And that's the greatest thing. Hallelujah. God bless you. You are dismissed. Have a great week this week. Amen.